what's going on? Once again, it's another version of Falcon Cast coming to you on a Thursday from Flowery Branch. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. We'll be hanging out with you for a little while. Don't forget, guys, you can take us with you. You can subscribe to Falcon Cast on iTunes. Just search Falcon Cast and hit the subscribe button to get each week episode on the go. That means if you're running, if you're actually doing the bike, maybe if you have one of those waterproof headsets and you're in the pool, you can listen to us. Pass some time, get some cardio while you're doing that.
We'll even give you some soundtrack.
No. We won't give you any dancing.
You look better this week, though.
I do. I was a little down and out last week.
You were.
I lost a lot of weight. My face was falling off, you know. I mean,
you get some electrolytes this week. Is that what happened?
I mean, you cut your hair off. I mean, it's crazy, man. You freaking broke your guitar. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, John got in the pool this week, so obviously.
I wore sleeves this week
as well. He's not Johnny anymore. Sleeves. He's not looking to kick anybody in the face. I mean, it's awesome.
I'll be honest. Halloween is one of the most fun times. Just the opportunity to dress like a kid and act like a kid and have no inhibitions. It's great.
Right.
That may have been my favorite Falcon Cast the entire time.
I watched it when I was out of town. Mm-hmm. I texted you guys, and I was laughing the whole time at you guys. Like, that's why I immediately texted you guys. It was a good show. You guys did a good job. It was fun.
We missed you, though.
We did. It wasn't the same. The guy didn't bring the same analytics that
I saw
do.
You guys ask. Yeah. He was at, you guys asked me questions, everything. You got no answer from me. I mean,
a couple of laughs and nothing else.
That's cool.
Now, the CW was fun as well. I got to tell you. One shot on the CW, I look over, and I have to – the way Shock sits to this side of me. So I get ready to turn as they go to me strictly on camera, and I can see out of the corner of my eye Shock laughing. And Rashan Ali sitting next to me trying not to laugh. And here I am trying to break down a game, and I can see myself in a Karate Kid outfit looking
this
like
this. Is what happens is – we were just talking, we were joking, have a good time, and then the camera comes on, and the red light comes on, and then he instantly goes, serious. I just lost it right there. I couldn't take it, and it was too funny.
And who were you? I was trying to figure out.
I was a mix of a couple people,
My guess was ODB.
Yep, I had a little bit of him.
And Trinidad James.
I had a little bit. Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think about Trinidad.
Okay, that was the first thing I thought of.
Trinidad actually fits more than Jerome I had.
Well, see, I thought immediately Jerome from the Fifth Floor.
Yeah.
It's Brumman.
Brumman from Fifth Floor.
That makes sense.
I was just a made-up character of just a cool dude.
I love that.
That's just Shock Deasy.
Just
that's
cool dude, man.
Your accent was great. It was
fantastic. We'll get into some football talk. It may be a little bit. We're probably going to get on the fans just a little bit this week. Maybe some of the radio personalities in town just a little bit this week. And one special blogger in San Francisco, you know, blogging from my mom's sanfranciscobasement.com, who had an interesting take on the Atlanta Falcons this week. But we'll start with what happened last week. Falcons lose, tough loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in overtime, a game in which the Falcons were down 20-3 in the second half, and all of a sudden they mount a comeback. Matt Ryan with a late touchdown pass to tie things up. All of a sudden we're feeling good about ourselves, and then Jameis Winston and company convert 4 third down conversions in overtime. They kick a field goal. Falcons can't come up with a score, and the Dirty Birds now sit at 6-2 on the year.
Yes, they do. That was the segue for me to maybe give some. It was one of those games where, man, I mean, it really could have gone any way towards the end. But you've got to look at the fact that you had 4 turnovers in that game, 11, 12 penalties, whatever that ended up being, over 100 yards in penalties. In the fourth quarter, you're tied and you send it to overtime. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's absolutely unheard of. You didn't bring Matt Bosher on the field at all. So if you don't turn the ball over, you're looking at potentially blowing the team out.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Your own mistakes are what hurt you the most. I don't feel like Tampa Bay outplayed you in any facet, and you end up losing. And I think that's the hardest way to lose.
They had almost 500 yards of offense did the Falcons compared to like 280 or 290 mm-hmm. from Tampa Bay.
Had Jameis threw for, I think, 177 yards the entire game.
Multiple turnovers inside the red zone.
With Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford on the bench at one point.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, I understand like the anger and all that kind of stuff out there, but some of the stuff I'm hearing is just absolutely ridiculous from fans and analysts and different things, and I'll just keep it at that.
For me, the game in a nutshell is kind of a synopsis of how the season has gone so far. There's been some times where you look good, some times you look bad, but at the end of the day, you always have a chance to win at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. How bad you play or how good you play, you usually have a chance to win with this team. And in this particular game, the balls that you usually get, they don't go your way. Right. The bounces, I mean, just the fumble snap that came back, both guys are trying to pick it up, and it ends up going off somebody's foot, and then you don't pick it up. I mean, the small stuff like that are things where things haven't really gone your way in that particular game. But like you guys mentioned, down 20-3 at half. You come back and have a chance to win the ball game. And a lot of people, what really frustrates me is when people talk about Matt and say he is not on that level, he is not an elite guy. In that second half, when you really needed him, there was a point in the game he was 17 of 17.
Right.
Ended the game 25 of 26. I mean, that just tells you in the clutch moment when they really needed you, guess what? He showed up. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. That's why you play four quarters of football. And I know people want Matt to live on this level and be, you know, the best of the best. But guess what? Aaron Rodgers had a game last week where he threw for 77 yards.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, how crazy would
– Not Jake Rodgers.
No.
Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
The great Aaron Rodgers, who everybody believes is the best quarterback in the National Football League right now, was held to 77 yards. So you got a quarterback who's doing it week in and week out, and I know you want him to put up all these crazy numbers every week, but every week he gives your team a chance to win the ball game. And if it wasn't for a guy who would make that extra throw or a guy who would force it into certain areas where you know he shouldn't do, but he has – that instinct of I'm going for it. Mm-hmm. And he leaves nothing on the field. Knowing him personally, he is a guy who puts 100% into every ball game. And if you've ever seen any behind the scene clips of him, this guy is the most fired up guy on that sideline. He's yelling. He's all the way into it. So that's what frustrates me about it. The game itself was a up and down game, but when people start talking about Matt in the fashion of he's not that caliber of guy, it just drives me crazy.
So you played the position. You played NFL quarterback, so I absolutely respect your opinion on this. What do you say to people when they say, oh, there's just something off about Matt? There's just something that's not quite right about Matt this year.
Well, here's the thing. Each and every week, defenses prepare just like offenses do. Mm-hmm. They have a game plan for – you think it's just Julio. They have a game plan for Matt. They know the things he likes to do. They know where he likes to throw the football. They know things he likes to do well. So there are going to be weeks coming in that defenses have a good plan for you. And sometimes that happens. Matt sometimes forces the football. He's a quarterback. He throws it 45 times a game. You expect one or two passes to be a little errant? That's going to happen. And for people to say there's something wrong with him, I totally agree. That this guy, he's in his eighth year. He prepares better than anybody else. This guy's seen it all. And if there was something wrong, I mean, the guy literally got slammed on his head. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him at the game. He said, dude, I had to get my stuff together. Like,
right.
And after that, he kind of went on a roll. And these guys go through so much on a weekly basis. They go through so much on a play basis. He has so much on his plate that people don't realize. And he's carrying his team offensively, especially on his back, making sure everybody's lined up, getting in the right position. And to say something's wrong with him is kind of a shot at him.
And then you have Terry Bradshaw, who shoots his mouth off and says, you know, he needs to go back to quarterback camp.
Wow.
And say stuff like that. Yet, you know, Matt is top three in most of the passing categories in the league right now. You've got Devontae, who is at the top of
leading the league
in basically every major category or top three, and then Julio, who's doing the same on the receiving side of things. So if you want to sit here and say there's something wrong with the offense and Matt Ryan's off and everything like that, the numbers do not back.
And here's the other part of it. Those guys at the top of the league in their particular position – well, there's one guy who gets him into those positions. Yes, Devontae runs hard. Yes, he has a knack for breaking tackles and all that. But there are a lot of plays where there may be a loaded box to the side they're running to, and Matt checks it to the other way. I mean, people don't realize the small things that's going on at the line of scrimmage to put him in position to be able to run those great runs that he has or to be able to get Julio the football. There was a play in the game that I think – really describes Matt Ryan and what he says when people talk about his arm strength and all that. There was a play he was throwing a comeback to the right side over there on Tampa Bay side. He lets this football go before Julio is even at the top of his route coming out of it. And when Julio comes out that route, the ball is here.
Right.
that anticipation just doesn't come with a guy who doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't trust your receiver, you don't trust what you're doing or what you're seeing, you can't be that elite quarterback. And the elite quarterbacks or the guys who are just average, they don't make that throw.
And I tell you. I'm sure you want to talk at some point. Oh, no, but I got. I just have one more point is that, you know, the criticism that's been on Matt, it's just been amazing to me because all the different things that have happened as a team, you're making mistakes as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of what's getting lost here is that all these guys have owned up to it. They're taking accountability and they're saying, hey, we need to do better.
Yeah.
We need to do better on holding. It's not Matt Ryan who's getting called for 8 holding calls in a game. It's not Matt Ryan who's, you know, fumbling the ball away on a free play. You know, it's not all on Matt. And that's what I think is also pretty frustrating.
Yeah, the frustrating part from a fan perspective is the turnovers because you watch a team march up and down the field against Tampa Bay, and then you get to the 15 or the 18-yard line and something happens. Yeah. And the people are going to say, well, wait a second, the snap comes back low. No, it wasn't low. The snap was rolled back there. Matt's trying to pick it up. Devontae's trying to dive on it and knocks it out of Matt's hand, ultimately goes to Tampa Bay. Matt throws a great ball to Julio Jones. Quan Alexander, you got to give a guy credit.
Just
he makes an unbelievable play. He tracks down Julio Jones and just takes the ball from him from behind. That play doesn't happen probably once in 1,000 games in the National Football League. Then you have another situation where Matt makes a mistake. The ball that he tries to force into Jacob Tammy is a bad throw. I was looking at it heading towards me. He forced it into triple coverage. That's Matt, as DJ mentioned, trying to make a play. And then the last one, Arch described it better during the radio broadcast. I couldn't see what happened. I know they were trying to run I guess the spread option look where he was giving the ball into Devontae.
Yeah, and you throw it. Yeah.
Arch thought Devontae clamped down too hard to try to take it. Matt was trying to pull it back. Whatever reason, the ball ends up on the ground. Self-inflicted wounds are things that you can work on. The turnovers you could work on. The frustrating part is now this has gone on for, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row. But the good point you want to look at, and I know we have this written down right here on our sheet. You probably can't see it. 6-2. You know how many teams would pay to be 6-2 right now in the National Football? You think Philadelphia or Dallas or anybody in the NFC East wouldn't pay to be 6-2? That's a great record at the halfway point of the season.
And I think we've lost a little bit of perspective here because you start out 5-0, you find ways to win games, and then all of a sudden you've had a rough couple of weeks. The expectations during that run of 5-0 kind of grew and grew and grew, as they should. I have no problem with that. But I think you lose the perspective of if you would have said back in August that this team was going to be 6-2 at the halfway point.
Somebody would put you in a straitjacket.
Every one of you would have been jumping up and down.
I'm all for that.
And and I think when you get to the point where you're 5-0 and then all of a sudden you lose 2 of the last 3, you lose your perspective a little bit. So let's remember that this is still a first-year head coach, first year with the Falcons, first year as a head coach. The staff is still coming together. They're trying to get their team together. Right. You know, you had one off season with this group, so they're trying to put their team together. And you're dealing with the mental side of things that has changed drastically. And I think you can't sit there and undersell that side of things. You've won games this year that you would have lost the last 2 years.
Of course.
There's no two ways about it. So to sit here and say that, you know, everything they're doing is just wrong is completely, I think it's just a mistake to say those kinds of things.
And you go back to Philadelphia when you could have lost that game. You go back to New York, you're down, and they're driving, and you get a big play by Croy. You could have lost that game, but you didn't. These are plays early in the season that's determining what's happening, that's going to happen later in the season. This is a team that's continuing to fight, and you usually don't see this, like you just mentioned, out of a first-year team. Right?
Yeah.
You got first-year offensive coordinators, you got first-year DCs, you got a new head coach trying to put in his philosophy and his team, and everybody's trying to have the buy-in. You don't think this happens so close. I mean, it happens so fast. So it's great that this team is gelling the way they are. And 6-2, I mean, you have to really take that into account that this team is 6-2 right now in the National Football League. And last year, 6 wins was all you got.
You were 2-6 at this point last year.
And look at – you got to look at some of the other teams. I mean, look at a guy like Gus Bradley. He's got like 9 wins under his belt in 3 years.
Right.
I mean, Ken Wisenhunt just got – the cans after you know, three wins during his tenure, although, gosh, they didn't give him much of a chance. But, I mean, you've got to look at some of these other teams who have had first-year coaches and even coaches who are brand new. They don't have the level of success that the Falcons have had through eight games. So.
I know Tampa beat us a week ago, but what did Lovie Smith do a year ago? They were ready to run. And Lovie Smith is a guy who has been a veteran in this league, well-respected. Obviously, he's had a couple of jobs. They were ready to run him out of town last year.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to give Dan Quinn, obviously, some time. And it's 6-2. I don't even know what we're giving him time for. I'm just looking forward to the playoffs in January, mm-hmm. whether it's on the road, whether it's here or not. And for everybody, and I know we'll talk about the division a little bit, it does sting to start 0-2 in the division, especially a winnable game at home against Tampa. But Carolina still has to play you twice. Mm-hmm. Carolina plays, if I'm not mistaken, at Green Bay this week. It's either home. I know they play Green Bay this weekend. That's a losable game for the Carolina Panthers. So for everybody that said, oh, the division's over, there's eight games of NFL football left. The division's not over until they have the Z next to the team in the standings that says denotes one division. That hasn't happened
yet. There is a long way to go, and you played, you've been around the game for a long time, so you know 16 games is a very long, long time, and a lot of things can happen. I mean, look at what's happened through eight games for us. We've got another eight to go.
Right.
So things could go either way for our team, for Carolina, for the Saints, for Tampa Bay. I mean, it's still very much open. You've played two games out of the six that you're going to play in your division. There's still a very good chance that you're going to do well in the division. So, yeah, it make no mistake, it stinks starting out 0-2 in the division, and it's certainly not anything that this team wanted to do. But it's not over.
Yeah. You still got opportunities, and that's the biggest part of it. That's why you still got eight more games. That's why guys are in the position they are. They're saying, yeah, they're being accountable for the things that are going on because they don't want it to linger and happen later on in the season because you have more football. And they know that. And they know right now it's all about solving those issues. So starting 0-2 is not ideal. Right. We all know that. But like you just mentioned, plenty of football left to play.
Three things I want to bring up that I've heard on Twitter or other places. First and foremost, Jacob Tammy, you know, good for you. All of a sudden, 10 catches a week ago, over 100 yards. Matt Ryan seems to be getting a lot more comfortable with Tammy, Toilolo, even when Moyaki's in every now and then. But mostly Tammy is the big one. Right. He continues to throw to him. I don't want to say Tony Gonzalez because nobody will ever, but it looks the same way. On third down, when Matt needs a throw, he's finding Jacob Tammy. Is this a plus to open up when we get Hankerson and Hester and all these guys?
It's an absolute plus because having more options as a quarterback is probably the best thing you can have. We know earlier when everything was going to Julio, how teams started to, you know, game plan against that, and you didn't have a second or third guy who you could depend on and say, okay, if he beats this guy, you're not having. Just talk about the interception that Matt forced the ball on. It was a third down play, I believe. And even though he had three guys around him, this is a play that we call Hank, and the tight end goes up 6-7 yards, and he sits down right there. The margin of error in football is so small. Mm-hmm. And usually if he just puts that ball right on him, it's a completion. And we know in the National Football League, the windows are this small. Right. And sometimes you got to fit it into those small areas if you want to get a completion. And it's a timing route. He thinks he comes back and just put it on him. He puts it too far inside this way compared to putting it on his body. And that's where the interception comes. The guy comes from his right side and picks it off. This is a great time for this offense to have Tammy starting to come along. Julio starting to pick it back up. Hopefully you get Hankerson back from his injury. We saw Justin Hardy last week make a couple big catches. He had a big catch on third down. Seeing him in his rookie year having an impact in his first game is positive. Having more guys, that's included. And we got Devontae coming out the backfield. We know how well each and every week he gets at least 40 to 50 yards, receiving yards, that helps his offense. So having multiple options along with the tight end starting to gradually come along is going to help this team go down the season and be better offensively.
That's the thing is you've got all these weapons and they're all working for you, and the only thing that's holding you back are your own mistakes.
Right.
Which to me, it stinks, but you've got a chance to fix them. Those are very fixable problems. If you were saying, if you were coming out and like, man, our personnel just can't match up with this defense,
right. So
that's a problem that is very difficult to fix in a season. Okay, you cannot do that. When you're talking about penalties and turnovers and things like that, you can fix those problems.
Right.
So that's why I'm really encouraged.
Second thing I wanted to bring up, and I've seen this a whole bunch, why, and I had guys text me during the game, why don't the Falcons take more shots down the field? If I read a stat correctly, they're 31st in the NFL for deep passes, meaning they're just not taking the shots. I watch, and one of the things I'll do on the field, I pay attention to where guys are running. I don't just watch Matt drop back. I'll look at the every route, there's a guy pushing it down the field. You have to clear a safety or maybe get the linebackers with some depth.
Spot on.
Shock, what makes you not take those shots?
Well, I think a lot of teams look at this Atlanta offense and see the explosiveness that it can have. And a lot of teams come into a game and they say, okay, if we make them work for it, then if they earn it, then that's fine. But let's not give them the deep ball, because every time we've seen the Falcons connect on deep balls or have those high percentage throws that all the way down the field and big plays, the crowd gets into it, that's when his offense gets rolling, because you can stretch the field, and then now you stretch the field, everything underneath starts to come open too. So you can't have you having catching the deep ball and underneath stuff. So you got to take away one or the other and make a team methodically go down the field on you. And that's kind of what we saw a couple weeks ago versus Tennessee. They said, you're not going to beat us deep. You're not going to beat us deep. That's not going to happen. We're going to make you methodically put the ball down the field, dink and dunk here all the way down and make a play. And I think defenses, when they play Atlanta, they say, okay, let's take away the deep ball. Let's take away the big play by Julio or the big play down the field, because that's what gives this offense fuel. And if you can do that, and like you mentioned, that happens every single play. There's somebody who has to clear out a zone for somebody else coming through. How do you think sometimes you see Roddy or Julio or whoever coming across on those big crossing routes? You're like, how does he get open way over there? Well, there's somebody on the front side that's opening it up for him. And that's what this offense does. You have to have somebody high. You got to have somebody low. And depending on progression, that's how Matt reads it. And a lot of teams play a lot of two shells. They bring the safety down or they cheating over the top. There's a lot of things going on that force you to check it down. And that's why Devontae Freeman is good. That's why Jacob Tammy is starting to be better underneath, because teams are taking away the deep ball.
And you're always going to take what a defense is giving you, right? If they want to defend against the deep ball, that's fine. We'll take that area between 8 and 13 yards. Mm-hmm. And the Falcons have been really good at moving the ball efficiently in that area. I think, you want to get the deep ball going at some point. It's great to have those big, explosive, exciting plays. But at the same time, I mean, if the dinking and dunking stuff is working, and it is, why wouldn't you just stick with that?
And I'll add one thing. Just thinking back to the Giants game, the Falcons didn't have a lot of big, explosive plays. But then that one particular play, they caught the Giants up. They thought it was a run situation. You got one-on-one outside, and immediately Matt said, oh, I got one-on-one outside. I'm going out there now, because we don't get this chance too often. And that's kind of the mindset of, okay, I'll take it, but then when you give it to me, we're going to hit it.
Mm-hmm. And the third thing, and it seems like everybody wanted to talk about the offense this week as if, again, they didn't have 500-plus yards, but that's neither here nor there. People keep asking me, should the Falcons use more no huddle? Because in the second half, when you're in a hurry-up scenario coming from behind – Matt Ryan has always, and they used to call it the Texas package a few years ago, he's always looked comfortable at the line, facilitating, get guys into plays and making a move. Mm-hmm. Should they go more up-tempo?
I think at times you should. For me, like you just mentioned, this offense always runs really well, really smooth when Matt has the opportunity to go up to the line and see what they're doing and then change the play and run a play accordingly. And I think for a quarterback, that just – it makes him more comfortable. It gets him more in the groove, because he can – come to the line of scrimmage with 25 seconds on the play clock and act like he's going to snap it, and they're moving and you know what they're doing. Sometimes when a play comes in, it's call it and run it. There's sometimes you got some plays that come in where you have a couple checks, run the pass or whatever it may be, run away from the safety or whatever it may be, but for the majority of the time, you don't come to the line of scrimmage and have the whole gamut of the playbook to say, okay, this is what I like.
Right.
They got a five-man box and we spread them out. Doesn't mean we have to throw. We got a five-man box. We got five offensive linemen. Let's run the football. That's kind of stuff that I think makes Matt more comfortable. I think it gives his offense a new added dimension, and it also changes the tempo of the game. Sometimes the tempo of the game gets slow, and you get into a no huddle. You get to moving. Guys get to running around, and you got a chance to keep their defense on their heels and keep them in that same defensive front or the same defensive scheme that they've been in for five, six, seven plays, and you wear them down. So I would like to see more of the no huddle offense, just because of those different things that it can bring to a game.
You know, for me, and I mentioned this talking with Dukes and Bell the other day on 92.9, I said, you know, you can't go specifically or just 100% no huddle, because then all of a sudden your defense is out there for 40 minutes. And as you've seen with Chip Kelly and the Eagles, when they try that, it doesn't work.
Right.
But I would like to see, much like Shock just said, in spurts, maybe this drive we're going to go strictly, you know, K-gun to go back to the old Buffalo Bills offense, and we're going to go, you know, no huddle this entire drive and see if you can get the matchup set up.
Right.
And then you go back to your conventional offense. But either way, the offense to me, outside of turnovers, is not really a concern. You don't have this many statistical leaders, and Pro Football Focus has the Falcons as the third best offensive line. You don't have this many statistical leaders, and you're not sitting at 6-2
right.
if things aren't working well.
Yeah, and that's why I just don't listen to the criticism that we have a bad football team, because everything points to the exact opposite. And I still stand by, if you don't make the mistakes that you make in the two losses,
you're
sitting at 8-0. Easily.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned.
Well,
that end of things.
The concern now is the San Francisco 49ers, is we will take our first and only – thank you. Only West Coast trip this year, which, by the way, I love California and I love Seattle. Yeah. So I don't mind going to the West Coast. Just no more London.
Yeah.
That was a rough trip.
Never again. We don't ever have to.
It was more because of the plane.
Yeah. It was,
you guys had the plane was a bad plane, small plane?
I mean, it was Virgin Airways.
Yeah,
right?
And the seats weren't
the
real.
The seats were just really good.
Like,
I think that.
You know what it was?
They weren't set Americanized.
Up, yeah, they were set up for skinny British people. Yeah. That's what it was. That's like Jay and I had a problem. I'm sitting like kind of hunched over, and that's a long trip back. Actually, the worst thing of the whole trip was the bus ride to the airport, which took 2.5 hours.
And I was on
two and a half hours.
And I was on a bus where our bus driver just went rogue.
I was with you.
Yeah.
He got out
of the formation.
Well, because you know they have the buses lined up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
I think we were in bus 4, and our bus driver goes, I'm out of here.
He takes off.
Like,
everybody.
Literally, he's 20 minutes ahead of every other bus.
They're calling him, and he's on the phone like, I don't care. And
I know where I'm going, huh?
Well, yeah. We get to the airport, and they basically told him, you sit and get back in line. So we had to pull off to the side of the road, which our bus didn't have a bathroom either. So now I'm sitting there going,
this is awful.
Oh, this is not good. I've had like 9 Gatorades on the sideline.
Yeah.
Looking for a Gatorade bottle,
Not quite as bad going to San Francisco's. We'll stay in
Very
Santa Clara.
Easy.
Fun trip. In-N-Out Burger is on the menu for Friday or Saturday. Ooh. Or Friday and Saturday.
That sounds so good.
Probably. But the big story that comes out with the 49ers this week, the tattooed wonder Colin Kaepernick is no longer their starting quarterback. They've turned to Sunshine Ronnie Bass from the movie Remember the Titans. It would be Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback. And there was a guy, I don't know who this guy writes or works for, KPL, one of the TV stations, basically said the 49ers were going to make this change a week ago, but wanted to save Blaine Gabbert until he played the, quote, weaker defense of the Atlanta Falcons. Is that on a bulletin board, Jay, in the locker room?
I mean, all right, so it was a big topic of discussion because, you know, we kind of called some attention to it on Falcons social media. So first of all, he was just reporting what a source told him, and so it's maybe less on the reporter and more on whoever.
It's still on the reporter.
Okay.
Much like it's on Chris Broussard for nonsense in the NBA, it's on this guy.
Okay, so, Dan Quinn heard about it. He knows about it. He's very aware of it. now, the players...
they know about it.
They know about it.
They know about it.
They know about it.
Don't even
they're
say
gonna tell. They're going to say, I don't know about it. It's the first I've heard of it, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They know about it, but you're not going to get anything out of them during the week that's going to give San Francisco bulletin board material. So I think Paul Warlow said it best when he was asked about it. He said, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, that is exactly the way it should be, but you know they care. You know there's pride on the line, and you know that it's going to add that little bit of extra juice. And when you talk about a weak defense you know, this is an 11th ranked unit, second in run stopping. Last 2 weeks, you've held quarterbacks under 200 yards of passing. You're, I think, 30th in sacks, which is a huge issue and well documented. That's what we've been talking about. That they need to generate that pass rush, but to say that this is a weak defense of Falcons old is completely inaccurate.
As you guys know, if anybody threatens your livelihood, you're going to be up and ready for it. And this is exactly what this defense will be ready for. There's no need to mention it publicly. They won't mention it publicly, like you said.
They won't.
I don't care.
You won't get anything out of them.
You won't mention it, but I guarantee you, in that huddle before the game starts, somebody in that huddle hey, this is the same unit that said we're weak, all
right? Right.
And it's going to be said, it's going to be talked about. So I guarantee you, when they step on the field, they're going to be out to prove a point. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the game, they're going to want people to say, okay. They're going to want San Fran to say, all right, that's not one of the weaker defenses in the National Football League.
Right.
And you mentioned having Blaine Gabbert get his start. I mean, this is I think it's a bad situation for Blaine Gabbert. Mm-hmm. I think this defense is going to be primed and ready to get after him. We're probably going to see some different things from this Richard Smith defense that we haven't seen of late. We're going to see some pressure on Gabbert. We don't want Blaine Gabbert to have any confidence to sit back there and say, okay, I understand this league. I'm going to make the Falcons pay. I'm going to show them, hey, this is my chance to be the starter. They're going to get after him. I guarantee you they're going to get after Blaine Gabbert with 4, 5, 6 guys up front, and they're going to make his day a living, you know what.
Not only Blaine Gabbert, but they trade away Vernon Davis earlier this week to the Denver Broncos.
Reggie Bush is hurt.
Reggie Bush is hurt. Carlos Hyde has been listed as questionable. He hasn't been the same. He's dealing with a stress fracture he's had for about 3 weeks now. He's not running the same as he did the opening week.
They just pick up Pierre Thomas, who might have been, you know, bagging groceries somewhere last week.
That name still scares me, but I know his productivity's not the same.
He's not in New Orleans.
He's not in New Orleans, and Sean Payton's not going to use him in the screen game over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
So I ask you guys this. With all that being said, our fan base is up in arms as if we are San Francisco and they're us. Do you panic if something goes wrong? And I'm not going to say the L word. If something goes wrong in San Francisco, is there a panic?
I don't think so. There will be a panic. Should there be? Probably not. And the reason I say that is because after San Francisco, you go into your bye. Mm-hmm. That's a chance to rest.
It's a
chance to fix a lot of different things. And if there's one thing that I've come to know about this coaching staff is that they are constantly evaluating this roster and constantly evaluating the things they do. And during the bye week, I guarantee you nobody's just going to be sitting around. They're going to be working guys out. They're going to be looking to find better. You know, if it's not on the roster, they're going to look to find better. And so I know that this is a situation where you could potentially be going into your bye week 6-3, but you get your injured guys some rest, and you have a chance to really evaluate. And if there's one thing that Dan Quinn is really good at, it's evaluating. So no, I don't panic because, again, you come back, you've got 7 games to play.
Right.
There's a lot of football left to play. There's a lot that can happen, you know. So I really don't feel like you're at the panic point.
I just want to go into the bye with the W. Mm-hmm. It's so much longer. Think about coming out of the New Orleans game, and we just had a mini bye, and it felt like forever getting to their next game. I think the Falcons got to go out and put together a pretty good performance. There's going to be some up and downs in this game.
Sure.
I mean, regardless. I mean, there's going to be times where there's going to be quarters where they don't look like they should belong on the field. They're going to look like, you know, they're struggling. But what I know about this team is come fourth quarter, some way or another, they're going to be in this ball game.
Right.
They're going to be up. They're having a chance to win. So it's all about finish. We've mentioned that 47,000 times, and I think if they continue to do that, we'll get out of here with no problem.
Jay, before we break with Bosek, Falcons actually have, for the first time really all year, a bunch of injuries, a bunch of guys that are dealing with some nagging stuff. Who should we be most concerned with to not play on Sunday afternoon?
I think your William Moore and your Leonard Hankerson are the guys that you're kind of concerned about. Will they play? Will they not play? There were 9 players on the Wednesday injury report. I expect the same on Thursday. So I think you've got your Justin Durant is on there, Desmond Trufant. But those guys were limited.
Alford.
I really think all those guys are going to end up playing. They'll be healthy by Sunday. But the two that I would probably watch out for would be Leonard Hankerson and William Moore.
Okay. So that should make guys feel a little bit better. Mike Person, I mean, he gutted and battled and fought and did everything he could.
That's a tough dude.
There was a play, and I want to say it was on the last touchdown drive, that he tried to come out of the game,
but he couldn't because
they were out of timeouts. He literally held on to Chris Chester and just was trying not to fall over.
Yeah.
That's how bad he was hurt.
If you've ever sprained your ankle, and I'm sure – I know you have.
sprain, come on.
But, yeah, sprain. That's like minor league stuff.
Yeah,
that's like bush league.
It's elementary, it hurts.
And so to be able to play football on that is just amazing.
Well, you just made me feel better because the injury report sounds a lot easier coming from you.
Yeah. Plus my soothing voice.
That's what. Now we'll go to the soothing and sultry sounds. We'll do a break.
It's time now for the late night break with Bosak.
Injury report with Brian Bosak.
Oh, what's up, man?
I don't have an injury report.
Oh.
Bosak, if you
have a microphone over there? I can barely hear you.
Okay, he was trying to do a slow jam voice.
I was.
And once again, it's Bosak.
There you go. I can hear me.
And late after night.
Bosak knows the ladies are watching, so he's trying to
give them
something. He's got one at home. He's got one at home, and that's all.
Really?
He
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
What's up, Megan?
Megan.
Bosak, you keep her under wraps. Great lady. We haven't heard about her. Well, what's her name?
Megan.
Okay.
Great lady.
Total sweetheart.
Shock's got a lady at home.
She's in school right now, so she's pretty focused.
You got
I do. I do.
I'm the
Falcon Cast Bachelor.
I am grinning from ear to ear because I do.
Yeah. I am the only.
Ah, look at her. He's trying to get some props from her. Look at her.
See, Shock taught me well, Bosak. I'm in a new-ish type relationship, and I sent flowers. I can't believe I did that.
Well, I'll just say,
good.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Sorry.
All right, Bosak, what we got today?
Hey, Jerry. I wanted to know your favorite place to visit that you've ever visited. I've never been to San Francisco or Santa Clara. I'm hoping to make a trip to the Golden Gate Bridge, but I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Have you ever been to Cali at all?
Yeah, I've been to San Diego and L.A.
Okay.
Okay.
You got to get to the Marin Headlands, which is right on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. We went up there when we were there a couple of years ago. And just beautiful. Just the most beautiful view. I could sit up there all day and just
gaze into somebody's eyes.
Because you can see the whole bay, Alcatraz. No, I don't have any eyes to look into.
Oh,
but that place was awesome. I think my favorite place to visit, though, is Seattle. I love that city.
Now, are we talking only Falcon trips or just in general? I'll start mine with Falcon trips. My two favorite were on the West Coast. Seattle was unbelievable.
We walked down to whatever that fish market is. The fish market is amazing.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
I went to some restaurant right there on the water where they literally took a bucket of seafood and poured it on the table.
Yeah.
And said, go for it.
And go for it. And about an hour and a half later, I could barely feel my feet. I couldn't see my feet
either. Because of that shellfish allergy.
Well, no, I have no shellfish allergy. My other
space blew up.
Favorite road trip was like San Diego. San Diego
there's a lot to love about that.
There's a lot beautiful in that city, and I'm not just talking about Petco Park. There was a lot of beautiful babies there. My favorite place all time to visit, this will be my third year going back, is Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Absolutely my favorite.
Never been.
I cannot wait for Memorial Day again.
I don't even have to talk anymore. That's
yours?
That's mine. That's where we went on our honeymoon.
Really? Where'd you say?
Punta Cana. We was at some resort. I can't remember the name of it, but it was at some resort on Punta Cana in DR. It was.
Now, I bet your wifey remembers the name of the resort.
Yeah, she would. She
would. Honeymoon, you're just like, I was there.
I was a part of the trip.
You never been to Punta Cana, Jay?
No.
Beautiful.
Punta Cana, man.
Been to Bermuda. That's about it.
I've been to a lot of the islands.
You find something to gaze into over there, I'm telling you.
In Punta Cana?
Yeah. You'll be good
Let's
to go.
Go. I'm going with John on Memorial Day.
You should come. Bosak, what's your favorite place to visit?
Favorite place to visit?
Chi-Town.
Chi-Town.
That's true.
Chi-Town. Not in the winter.
But like as a more vacation destination, probably just heading down to Florida. Well, now that's not as much of a vacation. But when I lived in Chicago,
Florida?
I was heading down to Florida. I see that. The gel fell.
Wow.
The gel fell.
A little blue effect.
Blinded.
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with Florida. You gave that look like Florida.
Look right now.
That was awesome.
Florida's great. I love.
There you go.
Look at all the shine on him. Look at us. Look at the
I look tan.
Look at the brightness of this guy. Look at
you know, I just noticed there's not a hair on this panel on the top of the head.
We're a clean-shaven bunch.
We are. Oh, wow. Bosak's up there fixing it.
Bosak's done a switcheroo for us.
But coming from Chicago, I can imagine. You guys have winter like 362 days out of the year. Get 3 days of summer.
Yeah.
Like
they own like one pair of shorts up there.
Yeah, it's rough. My grandparents have a house in Florida.
Okay.
So
where at?
Not really as much use anymore. Reddington Shores right by Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay. Not bad.
I love going to Florida. I think Fort Lauderdale is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. But
where I was at this past weekend, Ponte Vedra down in Jacksonville was, ooh, when I say, I can show you guys some videos, you're going to be like, ooh.
How was that trip to
Jacksonville? Pretty awesome.
Jacksonville was fun.
Pretty awesome until about 6 o'clock. But other than that, it was cool.
Now, did you stay the entire time?
Or? No. I ended up having to leave before the game.
Of course, you did.
I'm pretty glad I did. So you, I wouldn't want to be a part of that.
You ended up having to leave.
It just didn't work out for me to stay. So
now I got out of there. Let's talk about what happened with his team.
They won 5-3, baby.
Hey man, it takes three blocking the backs and a knee down.
Wow! Now you turn into Kirk Herbstreit.
I don't know, what did Syracuse do this week?
Then basketball starts soon.
Probably
the Cuse.
I need a team.
Nah, man, they got to win, man. That's all that matters, man. I would love to have a win any way possible.
It's a W in the book. That's no all doubt I care. About it. There will be no forfeits from this crew up here.
No.
None whatsoever. What do we have for video of the week? It will not be the University of Miami return, I am told.
Well, it might be.
Maybe it will be.
Both like I like that.
No, this is a finish line. This is a great video.
Is that Lolo Jones? Hey, babe. All
right.
You know you're struggling with that, but you're leaning back on that back.
Oh,
everybody's down.
And they're not even concerned with the runners. This is concerned with the poor girl that got trucked.
Everybody went out. Oh, man.
Now, do we have any idea how far they have been running? Oh, she dropped the finish line.
Why?
That's
why would you do that?
Oh, the elbow.
That could be on SportsCenter.
And this guy takes a...
You got to hear the announcer at the beginning, too. I wanted you to watch it without the announcers first. But this guy, just listen to him.
Benjamin McLaughlin to the line.
He's pulling up. McLaughlin's
getting ahead.
McLaughlin's going to do it. Oh, my gosh.
How about
he just
you
web
the
sauce.
How about you do it?
I know you heard it. And down the stretch they come.
Be that guy. Be that guy, Bosak.
Benjamin McLaughlin.
I don't know. We're not technical.
No. We're not technically.
Might have something to do with all those wires and satellites
you were. A lot of wires going on.
You were dialing up. We could contact Mars with everything you got set up over there.
Matter of fact, that video was from Mars.
It was. Have you guys ever seen that video? I think it was years ago, but it was this track competition. This girl wasn't really paying attention to where she was walking. She's got her backpack, and they're doing the triple jump or long jump or something like that. And so this guy is just barreling down. I mean, he was sprinting, and she's just like, and she walks like right onto the track when he's doing it and just gets demolished. I mean, this poor girl.
You know what, though? Do you really feel bad for her not paying attention?
You got to have spatial
awareness. Was she looking at her phone or something, or she was just walking?
I think in anything. You know, I started watching The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finally. I'm a late bloomer on all this
stuff.
Are you in on it, though?
I am all in.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I am all in.
Yeah, we're Walking Dead family myself.
Oh, my goodness. So, but I think that's really taught me to always have awareness
in front of you,
behind you, all that kind of stuff. It's made me more paranoid, which is absolutely perfect for me. I make a lot of weird noises.
You know what you sound like? You sound like a dentist when they're trying to... they've got that thing and...
Spit.
Squirting the water in and out. I got you.
All right, that means it's time to almost get out of here. We have to go to Picks to Click. And,
oh, yeah, let's go to that.
Boom.
Two, four.
You know it's bad, Jay, when in the post-game show, DJ goes, did anybody have Tammy? No. He goes, who'd you have? I said, well, my player got injured. He goes, I don't even remember who I had because the skeleton picked for him. And
yeah, that's true.
So you don't even get the win. As a matter of fact, Jay
No. This is equivalent to the Miami-Duke game. And at the end of the day,
that's two shots.
You just get a win.
I don't know. I agree with you because that's the way this is set up. But, we all kind of whiffed this week. But
yeah, Shock won with Paul Worlow, who had five tackles. Jay, you had Vic Beasley with two tackles. I had Desmond Trufant, who had two tackles and an injury. And Bosek went with old trusty 8-4, who had 24 yards on two catches.
8-4.
And let's remind everybody, you cannot take Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, or Devontae Freeman.
Right,
they're off the table.
Yeah, three of us are not complete idiots. We're not just leaving Julio and Devontae out. Yeah. But we've taken them off the table.
Can't be on the table.
Because
I like it. It creates nice.
Oh, yeah. You got it. I mean, that's the fun of it. Yeah. But it would be really silly if, those three were on the table. I'm like, well, I'm going with Julio this week.
The fourth one of us would just be out of luck every week.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. So who gets to go first? Shock, you're going last. That's kind of been.
Who's Bosek? Bosek, you or Bosek?
All right. Bosek said I get to go first.
Yeah, I went first last week.
No pressure on me. Well, being that Blaine Gabbert's playing this week, and I have affectionately called him possibly the worst quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Wow. I have to go with a defensive player. My guy, he's just got an anger about him. He's got an edge. He's been playing really well. I think Adrian Claiborne this week gets a sack or two. So I'm going to take AC, Iowa boys, as my picks to click.
I like that.
You're welcome, Flint. You go first.
Oh, thank you, Bosek.
That was my guy. Oh, so I'm going to go another defense guy. I'm going to go with the USS Babineau.
All right. Oh, there you go. Okay. I think that's the first pick of Babs all year.
I like that. I'm going to go with a guy. I am a huge fan of him, and I don't know that he has gotten nearly as much attention as he deserves
for his play this year
on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's just been absolutely outstanding.
He's going to do it.
Absolutely outstanding. I'm not going to take who you think I'm going to take. Uh-huh. I'm going with Justin Durant.
Okay.
Yeah. I almost took him.
I think he has. I know where you're going. And I kind of went back and forth between the two. But Justin
Durant.
You didn't
want to get punched in the arm.
Justin Durant, maybe he isn't going to show up all that much in the stat line. I'm going to go with just the key plays that he makes because he's always there in the clutch.
I'm taking a guy who is in the similar boat as Justin Durant, using the same comment as John Michaels, playing against Blaine Gabbert. This is going to happen. Had a chance to talk to him a couple times. Pretty good guy. The suspense is really rising right now.
I know who you're going.
But I like this guy because you guys had him mic'd up the other day, last week or so, and he seems to have great energy. He's always around the football. He spied last week on Jameis Winston. I'm going with my man O'Brien Schofield.
That's the Irishman. Right
there. I like Schofield. I'm going with Schofield. Schofield going to make some plays, man.
DJ might get a five.
Talk to him, baby. Speak it up, baby.
But, as we go out here, I mean, O'Brien Schofield has just been playing lights out lately. Yeah, yeah. Not getting
great
nearly as great energy. He's really the type of guy that could be the heart and soul of your defense. Remember, he's only on a one-year deal, so he wants to be here, and he's looking to earn that long-term contract.
This D-line and linebacker.
Not to pat myself on the back.
It's going to be interesting this week.
But on the opening day of free agency,
you called for him.
I said he was the guy I wanted.
Yeah.
To which some other people in town go, who is that? I said, we want him.
I'm with exactly. You. But interesting that none of us took any of the cornerbacks.
No, or anybody on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, I think we know why we all went defensive side of the ball. But interesting that the cornerbacks didn't go.
True, failed me too many times.
Be fun. I got to get back into the ball.
Wow.
When we got in, he gets a touchdown. I can't go back now.
So are we counting like pressures and stuff like that? All that stuff counts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, especially with this.
AC, Adrian Claiborne.
There you go.
Deuces.
OBZ. Oh.
You almost pulled an A-Rod.
Oh!
Okay, so we're going as hard as we possibly can.
Oh! That's easy.